Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is The Guardian.
There hasn't been any discussion at what happens to the Australian economy when you tell 10 million people, oops, your after-tax income is going to be $1,500 lower.
Hello, lovely people of podcasts, and welcome to the show. You are on Australian Politics with Catherine Murphy, the host and the political editor of Guardian Australia. And oh boy. Regular listeners of the show will know from the sound of their dulcet tones that we are about to unleash
the hell.
That's actually really good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We should actually – this is what we should call these chats. I've been looking for a sort of a badge. Okay, the bracket creeps. The two bracket creeps with me in the pod cave this week. Shane Wright, of course, from the artist –
the artist formerly known as –
formerly known as Fairfax Media, now Nine Newspapers, eminent economics senior correspondent.
You know I saw Prince live. Talking about the artist formerly known as. Great show. SCG,
stop
early
it.
90s.
Stop it.
One of the best.
Shane Wright.
Purple
requires, requires no introduction to regulars. And Greg Jericho, who these days is more with the Australia Institute than our good selves at The Guardian, but still obviously contributes to The Guardian. And, of course, I am back after a bit of a hiatus, and I texted the two horsemen of the apocalypse, a.k.a. the bracket creeps, a day or so ago and said, oh, my God, we need to talk because there are many, many complex conditions arrayed.
I just said, who the hell's this? I haven't heard from
her. New phone, who dis?
Who is this? Honestly.
Anyway, sticking to some semblance of order in this podcast, let me set the scene. So we are just over, by the time you're listening on Saturday, guys, just over 2 weeks to the first budget of the Albanese government.
I want to start this now. It's the redo budget.
Oh.
Because this is the 22-23 budget. We've already had the 22-23 budget. This is, and this is how much of a fiscal nerd I am.
Yes.
This is the first time. I was going to save this for insiders, but this is first time that there has been a budget, a redone budget of the same fiscal year.
It's never happened before. Yeah,
so we have had
The mini budgets
they were more updated as fiscal outlooks and things. This is a full normal budget, but for the same year. Never happened before.
Never ever.
I went looking for this because
Of course you went.
Which is a bit sad.
Attempt to put facts in your stories.
We've had budgets, we've had my EFOs, we've had UEFOs, we've had FBOs.
UFOs.
But
sorry.
Never a redo.
Wow.
A mulligans. For those who play golf, this is a mulligans.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Anyway, we have this.
This is why we're the bracket creeps. Well, we bring this sort of intellectual heft to the podcast room.
We bring these insights. That is true. Yes. Okay. So over 2 weeks to, as Shane has described, a rather unusual budget. Yes.
Unique.
So that's the first point on our compass. Another point on our compass is the global economy looks, insert your preferred word, gents.
Sick.
Not good.
Not good.
You've got to go bonded.
It has been better.
I say awful. Scary, but then I'm a well-known.
Scary is a good one.
I'm a well-known Eeyore. Okay, another point on our compass while we're in the global space, Liz Truss making Boris Johnson look good.
And there were some people who said that this may occur, that Liz Truss.
Were you one of them?
Yes. Because you just have to look at what she'd been talking about for the last decade, and Quasi, and you go, guys, you're just insane. But what they came up with 2 weeks ago.
Yes, we should explain.
Beyond
sorry.
Craze.
Yes.
It's a bit beyond craze.
Why don't you run us through it quickly, just quickly?
So, two big things. Energy subsidies that are going to run for 2 years worth, what is it, about 100 billion quid.
Loads of money.
A lot of money. Mm-hmm. Then, which people knew, they're going to do subsidies. They didn't know the cost, right? Then, hold on, we'll do something else. We'll cut the top tax rate, 45 pence down to 40, at a cost of 60 billion quid.
Mm.
And financial markets went, wait.
Excuse me.
What the hell?
Excuse me.
I was looking at a note from some UBS economists based in England, and they were pointing out that the amount of borrowing that Quasi and Liz have to do over the next 2 years to have paid for all of this, now they've ditched the tax cuts, but to pay for this was the equivalent of everything the British government has borrowed over the last 54 years.
Ooh.
This is why the price on British debt, gilts, went through the roof because the financial markets went, hold on, you can't sell that much debt and get away with it too lightly. Like if you're the US, you can, and they actually hit a new record this week, $31 trillion US in debt.
Yeah.
Yay, they're going well. Like the actual, I think I've seen that the interest cost on their debt.
This is the US
will surpass their health spending, the federal health spending, by the end of the decade. But that's another story. But if you're the Fed, if you're the US, you're the reserve currency in the world, you can get away with it. We're not talking rural Britannia world. Like this is.
Or even Brexit world.
No, this is.
Britain's on your own chap's world.
Yeah, Britain's a little island nation that wants some bankers and I don't know what else, some nice cheese.
And they import about half of everything they consume.
Everything
they consume. Whether it's for, consumers or to make things, half of their economy.
And workers as well, which they've just discovered.
Yeah.
They're not importing as many as they used to.
Amazing.
And to be very, very super nerdy technical, the price of the gilts actually went down. The interest rate went up.
Yes.
Just really confused, but all those who study second year commerce would just like to.
Yeah, but you'll see that bond. No, we love the bond market.
Yeah, basically, the interest rate that the UK government was paying on its debt just suddenly went.
And so
value of the pound went to hell.
And the added bonus was almost destroying the pension system.
Yes.
So just as an extra
all
bonus.
All in all, not a good week.
Not good. So I don't know. I presume at least some of you saw that without the explanation. But anyway, you're fully across it now. It was, how do you even describe that? I mean,
there are words, but you can't utter them on radio.
It was basically a case of people actually thinking actually delivering on a trickle-down economics rather than just sort of saying it in words and realizing that it'd be far too silly to actually implement. But they actually implemented it and were quite shocked that everyone went, what?
Well, and also, I mean, the thing that just sort of struck me at a political level was Liz Truss obviously focused a great deal on winning the leadership ballot in order to be the new Prime Minister of Great Britain, as you would, because obviously, if you don't focus on the ballot, you're not the Prime Minister. And I gather one of her sort of key pitches was, I am that person. I am the low tax, high growth.
But she never articulated this position.
Oh, no, I know, love.
That was the special thing.
I know, but she gets elected basically on that platform. Then she implements a set of policies replicating the platform. And it wasn't just the financial markets, the IMF. It was the Tory party who took one look at it and went, oh, my God, are you serious? No, absolutely not.
I thought one of the best things I saw was from an economist who actually helped design the committee that inside the Bank of England that sets interest rates.
Yeah.
And he was talking about this increase in interest rates on British debt. And he said, this is the moron risk premium. This is if you introduce moronic policy,
yes.
This is the increase in the price of debt that you pay for being a moron. I loved it. The moron risk premium.
Well,
we've got to use that somewhere
well,
else.
Well, no. Well, I just sadly. Thought, no. Well, I just think moron is actually a wonderful segue to stage three tax cuts.
Oh, come on. No.
Anyway, that's another point on our compass, Greg. A couple of weeks shy of the budget. The Treasurer, well, actually, I think it was really 3 weeks prior to the budget. It was last week, really. I noticed the Treasurer's language had changed because I had been away in my cupboard writing and came back and looked at transcripts of what the Treasurer had been saying and went, okay, that's a bit different than...
Let's have a discussion.
Okay, so the stage three tax cuts, we're there, and we'll delve into that in a bit more, but I'm just still sort of like identifying all the points on the compass. So we've done global economy scary, we've done Liz Truss, oh my God, what words, we've done budget coming, we've done stage three, and the final one, the inflation dragon. Is the inflation.
That's a really.
Not my, even my the, roar was just not there.
Not even the people who created Godzilla in the 1960s would be that poor.
Possibly insert sound effect. Anyway, the reason I'm asking my erstwhile colleagues whether or not the inflation dragon has been slain is because the Reserve Bank seems to have moderated the jacking up interest rate cycle, or what is it about this that I don't get, chaps?
Well, if we're going to talk about inflation dragons, I think we need to actually go back to the global awfulness because Australia's actually doing okay compared to America, compared to the UK, definitely. And that's having an impact here, not only because we import a lot of stuff and oil and all manner of other sort of resources and things that are made with our own resources. But when you see people like the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of England raising interest rates, and especially the US Federal Reserve, kind of the RBA and every other central government around the world has to follow a little bit. Otherwise, what will happen is investors will go, oh, American money is where I want to be now because I can get a good interest rate. And the value of our dollar will go down, which makes things worse for inflation and because things become more expensive when we buy them from overseas. So, which is a really complicated way of saying the Reserve Bank, even if it feels like inflation, it's getting on top of inflation in Australia, which it isn't really, had to keep interest rates going up a little bit, even if it only did a 25 basis point, purely because if it didn't, it would have seen the value of our dollar go down fairly sharply. And that would have made their problem even worse because the price of imported goods would have gone up. And
it would have been worse if not for there's some early figures out of the US showing that perhaps businesses aren't employing as many people as they were. So share markets in the US, you beauty, the Fed might stop lifting interest rates. So that actually had a real, that actually filtered through. I think the last couple of days we've seen like a 4 or 5% increase in the value of the Australian share market. Which is tied to this, the Fed, they might be getting their dragon under control, a.k.a. they... Who knows where it'll end? Like there is this big fear. I think the latest is that it's a 1 in 4 chance the US will be in recession.
Well there's bits and pieces I've been reading suggest it's already in a shallow recession.
No.
But you don't think so?
No, I don't think so.
No, the employment over there is doing quite
it's just
well.
Too strong. Oh, yeah. Still.
UK is
75% chance of recession. I mean, which they are really close.
Governor of the Bank of England basically said we probably really are there. I mean, and with Shane talking about the stock market, it's a good reminder to realise why these things go up and down, and it's not because, you know, Australian investors are going, oh, Australian share companies are producing great stuff. It's just that, oh, maybe the bond market isn't as good as we thought it might be, so we'll invest into shares. Generally, when interest rates are going up, that's bad for the stock market. So when interest rates are falling, that's where you put your money in stocks and shares because you think you'll get a better return there. So it's really, it's one of those things where you can't just when you see after the sport and they go, oh, the ASX 200 went up what a percent, that doesn't always mean, oh, Australia's doing great or America's doing great. It could be that some things aren't going great and or they're not going as bad as we thought they were going to go and things like that.
Okay, so we've identified bits and pieces. I think we've well and truly, I mean, poor Liz Truss may not recover if she ever listens to this episode when she hears the excoriation that
we
have
Liz will be listening in
delivered.
To us.
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised, Shane Wright, who listens to this podcast, as you learned recently.
I did, my accountant.
There you go.
Shout out.
We want to say hi.
Thank you, Jason.
Friend of the pod. Yeah. Hello to Shane's accountant.
He was impressed, one, with my Star Wars hoodie,
naturally, of course,
and yes, he listens to the Catherine Murphy podcast. I'm thinking there must be a Venn diagram of Star Wars fans, accountants, and Catherine Murphy fans.
Well, is he Gen X like us?
Yeah.
I reckon he's getting closer to. he's a bit younger, a little bit younger.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Has there ever been a podcast we've done where we haven't raised the issue of Gen X? I don't think so.
No, no.
We are the oppressed.
The minority and the oppressed. I mean, I'm sorry.
The millennials are looking, they've given up blaming.
Well, millennials don't have to worry about interest rates because they're never going to buy out of
I keep saying that to some of the millennials.
We're the ones who are paying, the boomers have already paid it off.
Yeah, so the millennials, they're tired of going, okay, boomer. Now they go, oh, okay, Gen Xer.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't
come
care.
On. Exactly. We had new wave. We had punk.
Exactly, and we've been maligned or ignored all our lives. So you know, there it is. This is a little space. This is like a safe zone for Gen X and lovers of Gen X everywhere. Okay, so we've done enough on Liz Truss. That's right. I think. Look, the budget will inevitably bring us back to the global economy. I think in some shape or form when we start to throw that around. So let's go back to the budget, quite close now. Before we get to stage three, and this is the intriguing conversation that's sort of like the entree for this budget season, let's just talk about the budget generally. Shane, you've said obviously it's an extraordinary event because of the...
never happened before.
Never happened before.
Definition of extraordinary.
Exactly, there we right. go. What in general terms do we... What do we think the story or the picture will be from this budget? What do we think?
Right, I think you'll see the whole, right, we've got to get the house in order. So you will see rorts and waste audit. We'll see a little bit of that. We'll see a bit of the reframing of some of the dodgy car parks and roundabouts that were promised by the previous bunch. There'll be the real image of the global economy.
Yes.
Jim Chalmers has been sounding like the Ancient Mariner at the moment, like recently there's always these storm clouds and he's still sailing before them. Mm. Phil Lowe's talking about an even keel. So the Reserve Bank governor, he's in the boat as well, trying to keep everything steady. Mm.
Settle down, Jim.
So you've got that aspect of it.
Mm.
Meeting the election promises.
Yes. And except perhaps one, but anyway,
won't change stage three in this budget.
Yeah, I wonder too whether they're setting this up for May. Well, not quite.
It is, because remember, where will Jim Chalmers be next week?
Yeah, in the US.
In the US.
But they don't close off the books. Sorry, guys, let us just caucus amongst ourselves. because we were approaching stage three, but we've got there because actually it is really fascinating and there's lots to talk about with it. They closed the books about a week before.
Mm.
I mean, I realise that this is a highly unusual. You know the RAF guys, if you've ever been in the Challenger, they have this thing called the performance takeoff.
Yes.
Right? Where they just basically take the bird way up at a very steep gradient. It's a pretty unusual budget to see a treasurer just sort of like 3 weeks out say, oh, by the way, we mightn't do this big thing scheduled for for the out years. It is. I understand exactly what you're saying. It's very late in the piece, and you think to yourself,
"He hasn't tilled the ground.
Can he do this?
Ground untilled?
Yes, ground untilled. No,
what are those strange sounds you're making?
When we did this last pod, four months ago, I sort of jokingly sort of said they should dump the stage, and you guys run. That's locked in, dead. You know, it's amazing how quickly the ground has shifted on this thing. And I agree. They haven't been out there doing much, but
there's a lot of, others
are. Yeah. And to the point where maybe, you know, maybe you rip off the Band-Aid. I don't know.
Yeah, but your vote doesn't count inside cabinet. And that's this is decided.
Oh, I realise that, and I realise there, but no one in there likes it. No one in the cabinet likes it. The only thing they are worried about is the broken promise aspect, and there's already a number who are sort of doing the, well, we've kept our good promises and break the bad promises, and it's not really even our thing. I think it's going really, it's amazing how quickly this has shifted. I thought after the election, they're wedded to it. They didn't even give themselves any wriggle room. And it's amazing how there's just been a lot of wriggling sort of going on, perhaps on the outside, that has shaken them up on the inside to start throwing metaphors and mixing them all around. But I agree it's probably more likely to do it in May. But
Which is the advantage of having two budgets in six to 7 months.
I just think it's – I can't see it actually coming into place. Like, I can't see the tax cuts actually going through in the form that they currently are legislated.
Which is different to some of those who say get rid of them all.
No. I still think there will be a stage three tax cut. Yeah, in fact, I think that'd be silly not to have a stage three tax cut. It just won't and shouldn't be the stage three tax cut that we have in place. I mean, it's to put on my political hat rather than economics, because I think the economics is pretty obvious. You don't give money to people who don't need it. Is that if they were to change the stage three tax cut, let's say even they dumped dropped the 30% marginal tax rate down, but for everyone earning over under $120,000, then they're left with the opposition having to argue, oh, but what about the people on $160,000? You know, and it's like, well, okay, you can have that. You can argue that.
I know.
We're going to pay for whatever we're going to use that save money.
I still think it's a problem. We have the $180,000, the top for the start of the 45, has been there since 08. That's a long time for the top marginal tax rate, the top cut in. And I go to Ken Henry, because I was rereading the Henry tax paper, and he had a three rate tax system that he proposed. And if you allowed for inflation, he had $180,000 in 2010. You take that is at now $210,000. Because he could see, as someone in that space, that the top rate, because you, and I think it's Rod Sims who this week touched on it, if you don't start changing the top rate, the increase in people who go to avoid their tax really escalates. And this is the problem that they had in the 70s. We saw it, and we see it even now. Like, if you can go looking through the tax scales and you see all these people, and it's extraordinary, the number of people who manage to get their tax just under
the threshold.
Each threshold. Yeah. And so there's a lot, no offence to my accountant, who's a great fan of the show, as we've talked, but it's great business for accountants. It's a waste of time for the economic, the dead weight loss around accountancy and around tax minimisation and tax change. I think it's too easy to say, oh, people have $180,000, they deserve a tax cut. I think the threshold has to change somewhere along the line.
I think that's easy enough. You raise the threshold up to $200,000,
which is part of stage three. But the problem,
they're dropping it from 45
to 30. That's exactly
what
the problem.
I'm saying the part they dump. They can keep that in for people earning under $120,000. I might even have a bit of an issue with that, but You don't go from 45 to 30 for people earning over 180,000. You just raise that up to 200,000, or if you're really generous, go a bit higher if you want to sort of worried about that aspect. But then you're still the big problem is that all the benefits are going to those essentially over 120,000. And all the arguments that they're saying in favour of things like correcting for bracket creep and things like that, well, bracket creep affects mostly those earning under $120,000. So if you're worried about bracket creep, the stage three tax cuts are a terrible way to go about it.
Well, I'm glad you brought up bracket creep. I'm looking at the Parliamentary Budget Office did some analysis in this very space, which I think is So remember the whole thing about it, this will solve bracket creep. It was never going to do that.
Just hit pause for a tick because they're speaking of younger people listening to the podcast.
What is bracket creep?
Yeah, I know there are a number of young folks who listen and we love you dearly. So let's just very quickly, the Stage 3 tax cut package, if you've missed it, this was implemented by the Morrison government. The Labor Party supported it in opposition after an internal discussion. The Labor Party has, you know, thus far said we will deliver a tax package brackets that we never liked very much, but that's been the story to date. Now Jim Chalmers is resetting that discussion somewhat. Now, just in summary, what we've been saying is that this package predominantly does benefit higher income earners. One of the reasons that's put in the general discourse for why we need this bit of tax reform is a concept known as bracket creep, which Shane will explain
so
for
you. So bracket
you.
Creep, and this, for the politicians who are listening, bracket creep is two different things. It is not just one, which a lot of people get mixed up. There's two aspects. Bracket creep is one of those things, if you've got a wage increase, and good luck to you, and that wage increase pushes you into a higher tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So you go from paying 19 cents in the dollar to 32.5 cents in the dollar, which is what happens. That is one example of bracket creep.
Yep.
The other is inside the tax brackets themselves. So if I'm earning, let's say, at the 32.5 cuts in at
45,
and I get a really big increase. I change job, I became Catherine Murphy. And so I go to $70,000 because Murph's underpaid.
You got no idea.
I know. So
how underpaid Murph is. But
so,
anyway.
So instead, so the $25,000 that's inside the 32.5% tax bracket is taxed. Your average tax rate is going up because more and more of your income is being taxed at a higher rate.
Beautifully explained.
Bracket creep.
Yes.
So we can't, and so when this was announced, Josh Frydenberg said, this will end bracket creep.
Indeed he did. Optimistic fellow that he is.
Problem was he was wrong. and that's because people move, because the bracket they're creating is from $45,000 to $200,000. So people, their average tax rate will go up because there is just one no matter what you do, you end up in that space. So the Parliamentary Budget Office, independent bunch that they did, pointed out that that even with this tax, these huge tax cuts, you're going to still have to fix the tax system in the next 8 years.
Yeah.
And they pointed out the only people who have a lower average tax rate by the end of the decade are those earning between $96,000 and
$160,000.
Yeah. So it did solve that problem. But the only problem is they're only 13% of the workforce.
Yes, yes.
So people earning between 20 and 50,000, and there's only a small proportion of those who get into the 41 of the changes, that's 30% of workers. They face a 6.6 percentage point increase in their average tax rate by the end of the decade.
Mm.
People earning between 50 and 70, 3 percentage point. Even the very top 1%, they actually face an increase in their average tax rate, and everyone earning between 70,000 and 96 will. And that's where the great bulk of people are.
Yeah.
So particularly those who are saying we have to get rid of the whole Stage 3 tax cuts, are consigning not just high income earners to paying more tax, they're consigning every person.
Yeah, everybody.
In.
Yeah.
And this is why I think you've got it, you get to your point.
You redesign Stage 3.
You have to redesign.
You call it Stage 3. I mean, to be honest, most people, and I'm sort of projecting here a bit, but most people are not going to really be across all the ins and outs of Stage 3 tax cuts because why would you? I always have to go back and reread just to remember which numbers are going up
budget.
And down.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's, and I write about the thing every week. So how bad it is that I have to check. So if a government obviously needs tax cuts, and this has been a key point that Richard Dennis, who's basically my boss at the Australia Institute, has been pointing out, that tax cuts are due to come in basically in the run-up to the next election.
Mm.
Now, if they keep with them as they are, essentially Labor is going to the next election with a big high-end tax cut, and it's going to be a case of, well, what are you doing for lower middle-income earners who are facing this increased average rate of taxation? What have you done?
Can I come to something else which has been completely forgotten, and by the time this goes to air, we will have reported this, is the Lamington.
Yes.
Now,
explain that for our young folks.
The low and middle-income tax offset, which was introduced by Morrison as in the 2018 budget and was supposed to end 2 years ago.
Yes.
But it has continued on. And it's now worth $1,500. So let me put it this way. A person on $90,000 this financial year is facing the biggest increase in their tax since the introduction of the Medicare levy in 1984.
Wow.
There are about 5 million people, 5 million people earning between 60,000. So 60,000 is below the average income, way below the median income, way below the average.
Yeah.
Everyone earning between 60K and $125,999 is going to get a tax increase. Mm. So the person on $90,000 at the moment, they after tax, which is the most important thing for most people, how much do you take home?
Yeah.
They get $69,983. With the death of the Lamington, it goes down to 68,843.
So to sort of summarize, like quickly,
that is coming. That is happening right now, and I get angry because there are some people say this was always temporary. Which it is, it was, but it was a dumb decision to make it temporary.
Yes,
it affects 10.2 million people, and we have never. There hasn't been any discussion at what happens to the Australian economy when you tell 10 million people, "Oops, your income's going. Your after tax income is going to be $1,500 lower."
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was meant to be temporary because they were going to take it out at the same time they were going to deliver a tax cut, and it was all going to cancel out, so you didn't go up or down.
It never really did either.
No, and then they, because of the pandemic, they brought the tax cuts forward and kept the Lamaito, and then it was like, and I can remember as soon as they did, I'm like, hang on, if they get rid of this next year, there's going to be a whacking big tax cut. They can't do that in the run-up to an election. They didn't. But both sides went to the election going, oh, yeah, let's not talk about this because we both want to take that money. And
Having talked to both the then shadow and then treasurer, they were both absolutely aware of this.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely aware of it. But it was the love that dare not speak its name. It's the tax that dare not speak its name, the tax increase, or the tax break in this point. So get to this point, okay, we're going to reduce your taxable, your take-home pay, and we've got some people saying, well, you don't even deserve a tax cut the 2 years after that. There is a reason why there's been so much debate about the tax. There needs to be a tax debate in this country because we're in such a bad position on tax.
Well, that's beautiful, beautiful landing because that's the point, isn't it? So in terms of what we think in terms of the budget in 2 weeks' time, what you're saying, Shane, I think is there's a much bigger job to do here and you can't just sort of deal with stage three in isolation. Therefore, if you're the treasurer and you literally, well, if they close the books about a week out, which is what tends to happen, he's literally got to execute this in 10 days.
And while he's overseas.
While he's in the US, which is tricky. Not impossible, but tricky. So Shane thinks it'll be more likely May. I think weirdly, we still might see something in October, although I'm not certain about that. I think in the minds of some in the government, this is an October or May proposition that we're sort of setting up now. And also, I mean, it's a test, isn't it, for the new government? I mean, because obviously people like us who value accountability and want politicians to do what they say we'll be talking a lot about election promises over the next little bit, whether or not they're kept or not. Really, the challenge before the government, isn't it, Greg, is that they have got to actually start making a bigger case to look at these things more holistically. And then that involves a whole, potentially a new election cycle and a new mandate when you're sort of setting up these sort of broader reform propositions.
And the budget as well is... It's going to be very interesting to see what numbers they come up with on the revenue side, and because we saw with the 21-22 budget, massive you know, reduction in the deficit as expected due to basically Russia invading Ukraine helped resources prices go through the roof and lifted revenue. But it's not something you can bank on. Perhaps they...
Well, they won't. They'll get, yeah. they'll revise, say, they'll, iron ore. Will, get, yeah, they'll, exactly. they'll come back to it'll come be $55 yeah. a ton. Mm.
So it's this weird situation where, in a sense, the budget balance is going to get worse because we've had this one-off weirdness this year, and that's going to be a tricky political sell, even because the old that was an abnormal one-off thing probably is hard to explain. But fortunately, the way budgets are framed now in terms of their factoring in prices of you know, the dollar and oil and et cetera are pretty conservative now, and you'd want to be very conservative now because looking across the oceans, there's not a lot of joy to be
back
held.
To the scary. Back and, to the scary.
Mm. You love scary. You
know, well, it while is America's a bit scary, doing okay, yeah,
is, America's doing okay, but there's a lot of people over there getting fairly antsy about whether the Federal Reserve has gone too hard with raising interest rates, because it has raised interest rates faster than we have even, and often recessions come after doing that.
Yeah, that's right.
And if America goes into recession, yeah, we've got China, but...
Well, China's got its own problems.
China's got its own problems.
Well, that's why...
Europe's got its problems.
Yeah, I'm not...
It would be impossible almost for us to avoid it.
Yeah.
Let me put this in your mind there. So I've seen the very first bank to do an estimate on this budget says... we think it'll be a deficit of $50 billion. And that's predicated on all those things that Greg has just carefully explained, but it also includes the assumption about commodity prices and an assumption around inflation. Inflation is good for budgets, always has been.
Yeah.
Ask Ben Chifley and Harold Holt.
Yeah.
Like, they inflated away the debts of World War II. Fantastic. So inflation, and we haven't seen this for a very long time, inflation helping a budget. The other thing is, we go about, say, the price of iron ore, they will revert back again, as they always have, to this forecast $55 a tonne. So headline budget deficit, let's say it's $50 billion for this. We get to May, and if things just rumble on rather than falling off a cliff, they will have to revise down that deficit by a substantial amount. Then we get to the final budget outcome in September next year. You could be down... to, let's say, the smallest deficit Swan had was about $18 billion, which is the one that he was trying to get to surplus and never got to. He got an $18 billion deficit. There is a way that you can see that, but it is, of course, predicated on the central banks of the world not driving the world into a recession.
Yeah, which brings us back to scary, which is a bad note to end on, but sadly that is our time, so we are going to have to end on it. I will get the bracket creeps. AKA the two horsemen of the apocalypse.
I'm expecting a t-shirt.
I don't know if wearing a t-shirt mug. Bracket creeps around Canberra's got to be all that.
No, I like it. I like it. I expect
fiscal
to see
horsemen
merch.
Horsemen of the apocalypse.
Friends
that
of
works.
The pod. I expect to see merch. No, I will get. Obviously, we'll get through the budget, which is on the. It's the 24th, isn't it?
25th, my friend.
25th. Forgive me. The 25th of October, we will get through the budget and obviously all our coverage, and then I'll get the chaps back reasonably soon after the budget, and we can stare at the entrails and work
explain
out.
Explain how why we went wrong. The budget figures were actually wrong.
Which I saw that headline somewhere this week about the RBA. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes, we will scrub all of our mistakes. Anyway, Shane... Greg, I love you both. Thank you again for your time. I think actually, I'll just say this parenthetically, I think this is actually the fewest musical references that we've done in any
I was just thinking that, and given we've just had the summer of Kate.
I know. It's a failure. Anyway, we'll more than make up for that in the next session. Thank you to Alison Chan, who is producing this week. Thank you to you guys for listening. And, you know, again, a hearty hello to Shane's accountant and all other regular listeners and friends of the pod. We will be back with you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.